As we start this exhortation today, I'd like to focus on a lot of the focus of this exhortation will be on verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brother Tommy has a class every Thursday on the book of Revelation, and the chapter that we're covering right now is chapter 21. We spent some time discussing verse 8 during our class, and I'd like to share some thoughts on you with this verse and the light that it sheds on our hope of salvation. The lesson we're going to learn today is very simple. Anyone can understand it, and anyone can learn from it, so don't tune out because I'm talking about something from the book of Revelation. It's certainly not beyond the ability of everyone to understand. Anyone can understand the book of Revelation if you work on it. And this exhortation is exceedingly simple, with no difficult to understand concepts. Brothers and sisters, we're all familiar with the concept of the bride of Christ. What this bride represents is all of the faithful believers who have been given immortal life by God. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Before the woman can become the chaste virgin of the bride, or actually, before the woman can become the bride, who will be given to the groom, she must be a woman waiting for the day that she can marry. This woman represents the ecclesia, and it represents us. Just as a chaste virgin can lose her integrity, so can our ecclesia, or we individually, lose the very attributes that make us appealing to our Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from the same chapter and verses before, let's read verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 this time. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What the apostle is warning us about and what we're about to see repeated in the book of Revelation is that the chaste virgin, whose mind is corrupted from the simplicity in Christ, is no longer the chaste virgin and is no longer a bride fit for her groom. The book of Revelation uses the woman as a symbol of the ecclesia, and later as a symbol of the ecclesia fallen away from the truth and consumed with error. This concept is covered in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. The woman who was once chaste is now impregnated with error, and about to bring forth the man-child Constantine in 324. This man's birth will bring life and power to the Catholic Church that will do the following recorded in Daniel. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7. Starting at verse 19. Daniel chapter 7, starting at verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. So at one point, this chaste virgin has now become this monstrous creature that we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, what have we learned so far in this exhortation? What you believe is very important. If you are diligent to study the truth and to keep yourself from getting impregnated in error, it can save your life. And if you find yourself accepting every new doctrine and belief being preached by the apostles of change, you will find yourself in a very bad crowd we're about to cover. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, let's look that up. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters. The chaste virgin has fallen so far away from the truth that she now bears no resemblance to the woman she once was. Once upon a time she was a chaste virgin, now symbolically she is illustrated as a great whore, a woman who compromises herself in every way, every day. Let's reading on to verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She has not only destroyed herself, she attracts and destroys all those who love her. Her doctrine, referred to as wine, numbs the senses, and those affected by its stupor cannot think clearly enough to perceive the truth and separate it from the attractive error she offers. And in verse 6, And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Finally, we see a woman who was once a chaste virgin, represented as a creature so vile and so vulgar that righteous saints are being killed to fill her cup with blood, that she may gorge herself with her filthiness, her unrighteousness, a murderous, vile woman that the Lord Jesus Christ could never love. Once upon a time, this woman was being prepared to be a chaste virgin for Christ, but she has let herself become corrupted and is now in a position of being totally unfit as that bride in Christ. This woman can be us if we don't put an effort into keeping a hold of the truth. Let's move on to the chapter we started out with, starting with Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. And he said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, as we all know, the book of Revelation is a book of symbol that is clearly stated in the very first verse of the book. And so it is that Revelation 21:8 is not talking about the people of the world. It's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And this will be much clearer as I go on here, who have done the things that we read about. Now, it's easy to look at this verse 8, and this list that verse 8 represents, and say, well, I'm not fearful, and I'm a believer, and I'm not abominable, at least I don't think so, and I'm not a whoremonger, my wife would kill me. I'm not a murderer, I haven't killed anyone. I don't know a thing about witchcraft. I don't own any graven images, and I try hard to never lie. I guess I must be doing okay. Let's look at this verse from a different way. step by step. Fearful. Brothers and sisters, when there's strife in the ecclesia, when brothers and sisters are doing something wrong or preaching something wrong, are you fearful? Are you afraid to stand up for what's right? Are you a fence sitter? Are you a pacifist? Do you see yourself as a facilitator struggling to get conservatives to see the viewpoints of those who changed, and all these other words that men use to delude themselves that what they're doing is okay, when what they're really doing is throwing away the truth of God to keep peace with those who demand that we accept their error? Are you fearful? Let's take a look at Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto himself, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And this is the verse I want to point out. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. How about 2 John chapter 1, verse 10? Chapter 1, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If we do not have the guts, be you a brother or sister, and yes, even sisters are expected to have guts at times. If you don't have the guts to stand up and confront and reject error, then we are amongst those called in the Bible fearful. Brothers and sisters, are you fearful? Believer, are you a believer? Yes, you know what God commands. Do you actually do it? Is there a struggle going on in your life to obey the commands of God? Are you successfully taking the ways of God that you intellectually know and actually doing them? Because if you're not, you're deceiving yourself to think that you are a believer when you are not. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. And let's open to Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I remember being a younger man when I had a very young family living in Mashpee, Massachusetts, and a hurricane came and was coming through the area. And I remember being in that house and hearing the power of that wind hitting my house. And I remember hearing the violence of the rain hitting my house. I remember at one point we had got a leak in the roof because a tiny error that the builder had made was shown during this time of extreme weather. And I'll tell you something, when you're in a house and it's being beaten vehemently on the outside, boy, you're really hoping the guy who built that house did a good job. It's scary. And what is that compared to? That is compared to hearing the sayings of Christ and doing them. You are in a safe place. If you hear the sayings of Christ and you do them, you're in a safe place. Let's continue on. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And I think it goes without saying that the ruin of the person inside the house was great as well. Brothers and sisters, are you a believer? The Bible has made it clear to us that we're not a believer if we know what God commands us to do and don't do it. Are you abominable? Do you have any time in your life for God? Do you spend every moment with all of the pleasures and distractions of this world and forget to read your Bible? The word abominable means to stink, and if you have no time for God, then you stink in God's eyes. You have no fruit, you have no life, and you have no faith in his eyes. Open to Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Because the Bible is clear what our position is if we have no fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the Bible is clear what happens to us if we are abominable. Brothers and sisters, are you abominable? Are you a murderer? Let's open to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now this Hebrew word is derived from a word that means hatred, and specifically it means to detest, especially to persecute, and by extension to love less. God wants us to fervently love our brethren in Christ. To be single-mindedly focused on doing everything that we can to help my brother or my sister get into the kingdom of God because I love them and I'm willing to do anything. It's amazing how many times, you know, our children are so close and so precious to us, and they can do a lot of things that can be really annoying, and somehow we just tend to overlook that. I've seen people who have had the most annoying children on earth. They just crawl all over your nerves being having these children around you, and they think their children are so wonderful. And brothers and sisters, when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, shouldn't we have that same type of willingness to overlook flaws and characters, that no matter what my brother and sister in Christ is like, I'm committed to love them, to really care about them, to care about their children? God wants us to fervently love our brethren in Christ, to be single-mindedly focused on doing everything we can to see that brother get into the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I didn't prepare for this before I came up here, but I believe that Raca there means something equivalent to calling somebody stupid. And I may be wrong on that, but I believe that's true. Love less. Love less. What does that mean? Maybe it's referring to those brothers and sisters you don't like and refuse to visit. Those whom you feel no emotion for, only a desire to get away from them when they come around. Maybe you refuse to shake their hand, or you avert your eyes and look away when they're near you. Maybe you're conspicuously absent whenever you know that they'll be present. Maybe you can roll your eyes or huff with your lips or all of these other things that people do. Turn your back. There's a thousand ways we can tell somebody that I don't like you and I wish you weren't here. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we forget that being human is a tragic thing. It's tragic because we know so much, or we think we do. And we think we have an accurate understanding of what's going on around us, and we think we do, or so sure of it. And yet so many times I have seen brethren loved less, shunned when they've done nothing wrong or for misunderstandings, hated when years have passed and they have repented in tears years ago for the sins that you hate them so much for today. Brothers and sisters, are you a murderer? Are you a whoremonger? We talked about the subject of the woman who became a whore in the Bible, who had corrupted her mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Are we spiritual whoremongers? And it seems to me that a lot of the false doctrines that we see, to me, fall into two categories. Either people desiring to come up with something new and exciting to show you how smart they are, or people that come up with new doctrines to try to make sin seem less offensive. So it's okay to do what you want to do because God understands. You know, these things that people do to try to make you think that you can do sin and God will tolerate it. Now, we talked about the woman who became a whore in the Bible, and the thing that caused her to become a whore, the most major part of that process is that she'd corrupted her mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Brothers and sisters, are we spiritual whoremongers who will accept any error and allow the truth to be polluted and lost? I fear many, many, many Christadelphians have fallen into this trap. Do we allow ourselves to lust after others, men after women, and women after men? For if we do so, even if we're not literally getting our hands on other people, in the eyes of God, we're still a whoremonger because it's what we want in our heart. Are you a whoremonger? Are you a sorcerer? The word sorcerer in the Greek means druggist or poisoner. And that's why a lot of the, when we go to get prescriptions, we have to make sure the doctor writes us a prescription, because a lot of these drugs that we're given will make us very sick and can kill us if we take the wrong dosage of them. Many times the medicines that we take are poisons of one type or another. And younger people, you'll find out as you get older that, you know, you go to the doctor because your arm hurts, he gives you medicine to make your arm hurt, and then that medicine makes your knee hurt. And it gives you another medicine to make the knee stop hurting, and that makes your heart go kind of slow. And it's just all of these different medicines, they all affect you in all kinds of different ways. And it's because the drugs that they give you, to one way or another, are poisons. Now, are you a sorcerer? The word sorcerer in the Greek means a druggist or a poisoner. Obviously, none of us are sorcerers in the way sorcerer is used in the year 2011. But a spiritual sorcerer drugs the mind with false doctrine. Many who have this designation may not even be aware that that's the way that God perceives them. Over time, they have simply accepted false doctrine without checking to see if it's true, or simply not caring whether it's true. They preach doctrines that cause people to feel that they can sin and still be acceptable to God. And if this doctrine and this doctrine will poison and kill those who love it. Brothers and sisters, if you can't be bothered to study God's word, if you can't be bothered to take every word that you hear and test it to know that that word is true, then you're very likely to be a target of these people and to become one yourself. Brothers and sisters, are you a sorcerer? An idolater. Brothers and sisters, are you an idolater? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In this verse, covetousness is called idolatry. In other places of the Bible, we get the impression that idolatry is anything we love and adore that takes us away from God. For some of us, our idol can be one thing, covetousness, for example. For others of us, it can be everything in our life. Movies, endless TV, worldly books, education, everything in their life suffocates out the time that we have to read the Word of God. And brings us to the end of the day when we all of a sudden realize we went through a whole day without taking a minute to even do our readings that day. Is it really that important? God thinks so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunken, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, are you an idolater? How about being a liar? When push comes to shove and there's consequences to telling the truth, do we lie to keep ourselves out of trouble? God feels very strongly about lying, deceit, and craftiness. Little white lies are neither little nor white to God. God expects us to represent His unshakable honesty. God expects us to represent His integrity. And the Bible is clear that anyone who thinks that they can lie with impunity is not the kind of person God wants in His kingdom. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus is choosing His saints, do you want to be inside or outside of that kingdom? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And you know, there's so many different ways to lie, and it seems like sometimes people almost would make a great study of, well, gee, am I lying if I say this? Let's say the mom said, did you take the cookies out of the cookie jar? Well, I ate the cookies, but my sister took them out, so no, I didn't take the cookies out of the cookie jar. Of course, what mother really meant is who ate my cookies, and you know that, but you're just trying to get yourself out of trouble. People like to play games with the truth, and God doesn't like to play games with the truth. Brothers and sisters, are you a liar? In summary, it's easy to take a look at the list of bad attributes in Revelation 21:8 and say, hey, I'm not like any of these people. The list at first glance appears to be a list of attributes that is so blatantly wrong, so blatantly evil that we couldn't possibly be doing the things listed. But when we look at the spiritual examples given in the Bible, where God tells us if we do this or that, then we are guilty of this terrible crime, which we never would have thought ourselves guilty of, being fearful to stand up for the truth, to not live by the commands of God as if we were not even believers. To be turned from the truth of God to lies makes us stink or be abominable in His sight when we change from chaste virgins to vile whores. To hate or not love our brother makes us a murderer in God's eyes. Do you really want to find yourself in the position of hating or loving less a brother in Christ for a sin that God forgave him for years ago when he repented? Do you really want to find yourself in the position of holding something against someone that God himself forgave them for long ago? To want to commit adultery makes us a whoremonger. The desire of the heart is no less important than the act of the body. As much as we wish it was, it is not. The desire of the heart is no less sinful than the action of the body. To teach false doctrines in error is to poison members of our ecclesia, the actions of the sorcerer or poisoner. To love anything, or maybe everything in our life, more than we love God is considered idolatry. If we're not struggling to make time for God in every aspect of our lives, and then we're idolaters. And brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is that Christadelphians make a big point out of make sure you find time to do your readings, but that is the bare minimum of what God expects out of us in our study of His Word. That is the bare minimum. There's a whole lot more that we should be studying than just reading our Bible and thinking, okay, I've done everything I've got to do. It's time to go back to watching or doing whatever you want to do. To tell untruths, to deceive, little white lies, and anything that takes us away from a direct, honest truth from those around us is to be a liar. All these attributes are the attributes of the rejected, brothers and sisters. If you are doing all of these attributes are the attributes of those who will be rejected by Christ at the judgment seat. And if you're doing any of these things, brothers and sisters, I exhort you to repent and change your ways and struggle to resist sin, because that is one of the most important duties we have as brethren and sisters in Christ, is to realize that we can control ourselves, to realize that we have a duty to control ourselves and to do it. I think to many people, the big shock of the judgment seat will be when they finally realize that Christ really did mean exactly what he said. Brothers and sisters, let's heed the word of God today and live. I'm going to repeat this last sentence. I think to many people, the huge shock of the judgment seat will be when they finally realize that Christ really did mean exactly what he said, exactly he expected of us, exactly what he told us to do. So, brothers and sisters, the Word of God brings life. Let's focus on that Word of God. Let's live by that Word of God and reflect that Word of God. Okay, at this point we'll sing the Word.